Do you know the kingdom of heaven is, whether it looks like it or not, advancing against the evil one, against the kingdom of the devil? The law and the prophets ended with John the Baptist. Therefore, Jesus was ministering to people as the grace of God. He forgave sins without animal sacrifice. That should be a very strong clue right there. He was not operating under the Old Testament law. He never required any of the feasts or the legalism of the law for people to be healed, delivered, restored, or whatever. He just said, believe in me, the Son of God. What is that? That's the grace of God, and that's the new covenant. The Bible actually says, the Word actually says, that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus was on earth rescuing captives from the old slave master. And guess what? He's never stopped. He's still here and he's still doing it through us who will allow him to work through us. Under the leadership of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven started advancing against evil. Matthew 11, 12, this is a short review of the sermon, Two Kingdoms. And I just want to show you this, that the kingdom of heaven is advancing against evil. And you're a part of that. Matthew 11, 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Now, who's saying this? Jesus Christ. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. That means sometimes if you want to get healed, you got to press in and take it. It's kind of like the children of Israel. They had to press in and take that promised land. Sometimes you just got to take it, not because God doesn't want you to have it, because the devil doesn't want you to have it. Amen. Verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John the Baptist. Then what happened? Jesus took over, the grace of God. The law and the prophets ended with John the Baptist, but Jesus was ministering to people as the grace of God. That's why he required faith in him, and that's all he required. Under the leadership of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven started advancing against evil, against the evil one. And everywhere Jesus went, he's driving back demons and devils. He's driving out, casting demons out of people, restoring them to wholeness, removing the curses of sickness and disease and failure and poverty for people, and even blessing people by helping them catch fish. Can you say amen? And feeding them Captain D's fish sandwiches and multiplying them. Can you say thank you, Jesus, for Captain D's? Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news, this is another statement of the same thing in Luke. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, this is the NIV, and it makes it even more clear. The good news of the kingdom of God, the new covenant. How many know we're under the new covenant? There's still people who say it's a sin to eat catfish. Why do you believe that? Because the Old Testament says not to eat catfish. Well, we under the new covenant. If you want to live under the old, you go right ahead, but the new covenant's more fun. Amen. And that's what he practiced. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom, I'm not saying he didn't keep the law himself, he did, but at the same time, he didn't operate under it and require people to use animal sacrifices. And if you believe he did, you're really sadly mistaken. You might want to read the Bible. It does help to read the Bible. There'd be a lot less false doctrine in America if pastors read the Bible. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God, the new covenant is being preached. Jesus said that. And everyone is forcing his way into it. There you have, if you're going to get the promised land, sometimes you got to press in and go against those giants, amen, demons, whatever. The good news is that our work now is believing in Jesus Christ. That's my work. That's my assignment, is to believe in him and believe everything he said and act on it. Not only believe it, but be a doer of the word. Jesus demanded faith in himself for salvation, not animal sacrifice, not OT law. The law and the prophets were proclaimed and preached until John. Then Jesus began to preach the good news. Look what it says one more time, Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom is being preached by Jesus Christ. That's exactly what he means. But our work is believing on the Son of God. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus demanded faith in himself. Now, if you know I start something like this, I'm going to finish it all the way with the Word of God and prove everything I'm saying from the Word of God. That's what God has called me to do. I'm not a preacher that throws that one scripture and preach for an hour and never mention that scripture again. To me, that's almost a sin. You need to preach the Word of God. But on the other hand, each preacher's got to do what God calls him to do. Amen. Can you say amen? Jesus demanded faith in himself for salvation. The law and the prophets were proclaimed or preached until John. Then Jesus began to preach the good news. It's by faith and faith alone. It's not by works. If you're born again, you have the faith of Christ in you, it will change your behavior. The Lord accepts us just like we are, but he will not leave us just like we are. As the kingdom of God advanced, demons were driven out, and you can just watch it as Jesus ministers throughout the Gospels. People accepted Christ by faith, and hurting people were restored to health, even some raised from the dead. In John chapter 6, verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. See, I told you. Our work is believing him enough to obey his word and be a doer of his word. You say, well, I believe the word of God. Well, are you doing it? If you're not doing it, I would say you really don't believe it. Well, I believe in prayer. Are you praying? Our work is living by faith in Jesus every day. Jesus says, our work is the work of believing, not doing the law, and not refusing to eat catfish. Catfish is not very good for you. That's why it was in the Old Testament law. How many know the Old Testament law, even though we're not directly under it, Jesus has fulfilled it, but at the same time, there's some good stuff there. Yes. The Bible diet is still good. Amen. And while we're not under legalism, we under temperance. Can you say amen? Moderation. If you're going to eat catfish, maybe every now and then. Can you say amen? Amen. And then pray for God to heal you. Because of his miraculous birth, Jesus is the Son of God. He is 100% man and 100% God. All true Christians believe that. And any group or person that does not believe that, they are called a cult, a part of a cult. We must believe in him and his word. He is the Son of God. Amen. And he is fully human, or he could not have died in the place of humans. Jesus was sent to earth with a special mission. It says to seek and to save the lost. It actually says that. To seek and to save the lost. And by the way, he is the one still doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And Jesus is behind the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? So no one comes to Christ even today without the Lord through the Holy Spirit drawing them. Amen. We must believe in him and his word. Jesus was sent, listen, he was sent to earth with a special mission to seek and to save the lost, to heal the sick and hurting. Well, how do you know that? Because that's what he did. How many think Jesus came and got confused and did not do what God sent him to do? He said, I speak what I hear and I do what I'm told to do. And a lot of preachers, all preachers today would be better off if they would do that, speak what they hear and do what they're told to do. So, Jesus was sent to earth on a special mission. And he's still here, and he's still on that mission working through us. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'll go with you to the end of the age. To seek and to save the lost, to heal the sick and hurting, to destroy the works of the devil, and restore people to wholeness, like people have been hurt by losing a loved one. The Lord never promised us that we wouldn't have some hard licks. He just promised to heal us and heal the inner hurts and scars. You say, well, you don't know what I've been through, the abuse I've taken. I know someone can heal that, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Well, y'all doing better on amens, or at least right now you are. But I don't trust you. You may go to sleep again, but keep it up. If you can, Mark 1:10, chapter 1, verse 10. He, John, saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. You see, this is Jesus' water baptism. After the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus, he worked his first miracle by turning water to wine. You see, this is why Jesus gave us the same Holy Spirit, so we would be able to do the works that he did. He said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, she shall do. And you say, that's impossible. Yes, it's impossible in the flesh, but we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. If you didn't know that, you need to take this class on Thursday night. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You see, Jesus was operating as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't get that. They say, well, he did all these things as the Son of God. No, he didn't. He did it as a man operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, he walked on water because he was God. Well, then guess what? Peter was God. Never thought of that. Peter walked on water too. He's walking as a man by faith, the same way Jesus was walking by faith. He was the Son of God. You can't question that for a second. If he wasn't God, he wasn't righteous. If he wasn't righteous, he couldn't die in my place. He was human. If he wasn't human, he couldn't die in my place. I don't have time to go into detail on all that, but that's basic stuff most Christians already know. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, have sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Get a load of that. Think of that. And people say, oh, no one understands what I'm going through. I've been hurt by all these different things and different people, racism and everything else. Let me tell you, you got to quit, get your mind and eyes off of what people have done to you and get your eyes and mind on what Jesus Christ wants to do for you. I've had some hard licks myself. I grew up on the wrong side of the track, so to speak. You know, my family's involved in all kind of stuff. Uncle in prison, my dad tried for attempted murder, and I wasn't exactly the most popular kid around. Everybody expected me to be a criminal, and probably would have been. It hadn't been for me getting saved in a Baptist Vacation Bible School at 11 years old. And recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You see, Jesus worked his miracles to help people. He's still working his miracles to help people. Well, I don't believe in miracles. If you're saved, you can't mean that. Amen. Being born again is the greatest miracle of all. So if you've been born again, you believe in miracles, the devil just been trying to convince you that you don't. You see, Christ could do these miracles because he was sent by God and anointed by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't working on his own. He was a righteous human, and I'm just reading the Bible. That's what I've been reading to you. It's what it says. He was a righteous man operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He preached the gospel, healed the brokenhearted, those who are emotionally hurt and scarred. He set the captive free. Those who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, illicit sex, and all kind of bondages, he broke the bondages. Just read the New Testament, read the Gospels, and you'll watch him go, go, go. He went for it. Can you say, amen. Praise the Lord. He opened blinded eyes. He healed those who were bruised and crushed by life. In other words, he was destroying the works of the devil. The word says that he came to destroy the works of the devil, and he destroyed the works of the devil in you, in us. Yes. to heal us and restore us, to take away the curses of sickness, disease, failure, poverty, and inferiority. How else do you think he defeats the devil? Healing and restoring what the devil has done. Also, he was turning people from Satan to God. You see, Peter confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." So Jesus, God was using Jesus Christ and working by the Holy Spirit to turn people from today we say secular humanism, ungodly things, to the kingdom of God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, Jesus had come to turn people from the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of God. You are the Son of the living God. Peter knew it in his heart because of Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit quickened his heart, and he knew this is the man. And you can have that same notion. Amen. Because he's real. Amen. He ain't dead. I'm sorry, he's not dead. I know good English, I just don't like it. It just doesn't sound right. John 4:46. Therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee. Now just watch him go now. He's driving back the kingdom of darkness. And you hadn't heard this message before, because God just gave it to me. Of course, it's got some of the same scriptures in it. How many don't want me using the Koran? Come on. I got to use the Bible. There's only so many scriptures. But the good thing about the Bible, it's alive, and you can use the same scriptures sometimes 10 different ways for 10 different things. Amen. John 4:46. Therefore, he came to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. There was a royal official whose son was sick and dying. Now, look around you. Do you see people sick and dying? I want you to know that Jesus Christ, is, according to the Word of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hadn't changed one bit. But we have taught and preached that somehow he went back to heaven, retired, and now we're on our own. I don't know. That's sort of the way I used to preach, and a lot of people preach, but that's not what this book is saying. John 4:46, therefore he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. There was a royal official whose son was sick and dying. He asked Jesus to come pray for him. Verse 49, the royal official said to him, "Sir, come down for my child before my child dies." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." I mean, the preacher don't have to come to your house. Can you say amen? He don't even have to come to the hospital. If he's a man of God, he can get it prayed through, no matter where he is. "Go, your son lives." The man, of course, you need more. I like to get several people praying for me, not just one. Can you say amen? The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off home. That's faith. You get a word from God, you say, "Well, now I got it," and you go. That's what faith is. Faith is not wandering around in the dark. It's hearing from God and then acting on it. Be a doer of what you hear. His word was believing Jesus Christ. Because he believed, he acted on the word. Because I believe, I do certain things when I hear from God. Because he believed, he started home. Verse 51, as he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. That's the New American Standard Version. I try to pick the translation that's closest to the Greek and Hebrew. And this is, I think, right on the money. It says, when he began to get better. Notice he asked, when did he begin to get better? It implies very strongly that the healing was gradual. You remember one case when Jesus prayed for the blind man. He said, I see men as trees walking, which meant his vision, he could see, but it was blur. And Jesus prayed again, and then he could see clearly. A lot of times we want our miracle yesterday. Sometimes it's gradual, and it takes a little time. You live by faith, and you let God do it the way he wants to do it, and you trust God. Well, I thought I was being healed, but I guess I'm not. Well, quit guessing and believe. Amen. Believe he started something he's going to finish. Amen. It was the same time Jesus gave him the word go. They compared times, and they said it was exactly this time when Jesus said go. When Jesus says go, it's time to go. Jesus healed, delivered, and restored everyone to wholeness. He went about doing good and healing all. Wonder what that word all means. Let's just scratch our head and try to figure out what does all mean. As far as I'm concerned, it means all. It means everybody. Jesus healed, delivered, and restored everyone to wholeness. Mark 1:23, chapter 1, verse 23. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth?" He says, "What business does demons and devils have with Jesus Christ?" And then they say, "Have you come to destroy us?" Well, what's the answer to that? Let's see. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So you got a demon here preaching the gospel, and he's doing a better job than a lot of preachers. But the Lord didn't want a devil preaching the gospel. In verse 25, "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.'" Amen. I don't need you telling people who I am. You come out, you devil. And he cast him out. You see, Jesus told demons, you can learn a lesson here, to shut up and come out. This is how we cast out demons. Not chit-chatting with them, and what is your name, you know, and all this silly stuff some so-called deliverance people put people through. I mean, Jesus didn't do it that way. People in the Bible didn't do it that way. They told them to shut up and come out, and that's the way you get people delivered. I'm not going to chit-chat with no demon. Amen. And this demon was even telling people that he was the Son of God. Jesus said, "Shut up and come out." He did. Jesus delivered him. Delivered that man from that demon. But what is the answer to their question? "Have you come to destroy us?" Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. "That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." The answer is yes. Notice it says that he might destroy him. He came to destroy Satan, his demons, and their power over us by blotting out our sins. Look around the world. The devil has not been destroyed. It appears to me he's getting worse by the day. But his power's been destroyed over me because my sins have been blotted out. And because my sins are blotted out, he has no legal right to touch me. And when he tries to put strep throat on me or anything else, I have the right to say, "I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood. I am the property of God. And you lying devil, you can't put anything on me because I'm going to go preach." Amen. And believe me, I do that about every day. I'm not preaching every day, but I'm doing something every day. Amen. And the devil's always working with this stuff. Well, it's Wednesday. You can have a little strep throat on Wednesday. "No, I can't. I got to go to the Victory Group tonight." The devil's always trying to put something on me, and I'm not taking it. If you want to take it, that's okay. I'll pray for you. Whatever. I'll stand on my head for you. But I'm not taking it. So one of these days, that's what the devil keeps telling me, one of these days. I haven't missed preaching. Lord, forgive me if I ain't getting close to bragging, because I don't want to go to the hospital in the ambulance. Amen. You start bragging, you're going to wind up in intensive care if you're not very careful. But because of what the Lord has revealed to me here, I haven't missed preaching for 45 years, in spite of some of your prayers. I haven't missed preaching for 45 years because of sickness. And I tell you that just to let you know, God's no respecter of persons. But this is the way you do it. You believe in the Son of God. And you believe in everything he says. Period. Jesus, and I didn't just start out yesterday. It took me all these years to get to believe in what I do. And thank God I live to be an older guy. I wouldn't have known very much. Can you say amen? I'm just praying I have more time to keep learning. Jesus was on a mission to drive back darkness and cast out Satan. And buddy, it was obvious. Look at all the people he cast the devil out of and all the miracles he worked. You see, he came to transfer us from the power of evil to the power of God. Count me in. Luke 8:14, when Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. If you've got a mother-in-law and she's still alive and well, pray for her. Verse 15, he touched her hand and the fever left her just by one touch of the Holy Spirit anointing Jesus Christ, one touch, and she was healed. Look, and she got up and waited on him. That's why he wants to heal you. So you can get up and get back to work. Well, Father God put that sickness on her. Well, then Jesus Christ was in rebellion against Father God. Because he took it off. Father put it on, God took it off. I don't think so. He said, I only do what I hear, and I only do what I'm told to do. Somebody say something. I said, say something. Amen. Something. Because, they be like crazy people. You're in the right place. Because he heard her, she was able to serve him. I'm sorry. Can you read my own notes? Because he healed her, she was able to serve him. Jesus wants to deliver from the spirit of infirmity, and that's what she had, and that's what others had, that it says plainly he delivered them. So he wants us to be delivered so we can fulfill our purpose in life. He wants us free from every stronghold, bondage, and addiction. Well, if that was true, people would never die. No, this is not preaching immortality. It's preaching that he wants you health and well while you live so you can serve him. And when it's your time to go, you're going to go. And when it's my time to go, I'm going to go. Matthew 8:16, but until then, I plan on being healthy and well and keep right on preaching. Amen. That's my plan. Amen. And I believe it lines up with the word of God. Matthew 8:16, when evening came, you recognize this. It's a, I use a different translation to try to throw you off. The Amplified Bible, when evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of the devil. Devil, you just get out of here. He wants to come in and try to create doubt and unbelief. No, you're not. Never. Get out. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. Notice he drove out demons and devils first. Sometimes it's a spirit of infirmity. The lady that was crippled, it says she had, it was a spirit of infirmity, and when he touched her, the thing left her, and she stood up straight. And he restored to health all. Say all. Spell it. A-L-L. That's easy. One more time. A-L-L. Verse 17. And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Why did he do that? Because he knew that's what God, Father God, wanted him to do. If Father God had made all these people sick, then Jesus, don't you, can't you see that? Then Jesus would have the will of God to take it off. But Isaiah, by the Holy Spirit, that says when the Messiah comes, he's going to take your infirmity. Isaiah 43. I quote it every time we serve communion. Verse, 3, 4, right in that area there, Isaiah 53. Truly hath borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression, was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed, made whole. Oh, the healing's not in the atonement. Listen, I didn't come to debate. I'm not reading debate notes. I'm reading the promises of God. It says, with his stripes, we're healed. Peter says, with his stripes, we were healed. I'm going with the promise. I don't care what you stick it in the atonement, or where are you going to stick it? Can you say amen? I go with the promise of God. And if you want to be a theologian and explain away everything God has given us, you go right ahead. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep getting healed as long as God wants me to preach. Can you say amen? Verse 17, and thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. That's Isaiah 53. This is the revelation God gave me. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. The Lord spoke to me as I read that when I was fasting and praying 3 days. He said, do you believe I'm still here? Yes. Do you believe I'm still here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? You may want to answer this yourself. Do you believe he's still here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? The third question, do you believe, he said, do you believe I'm here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? Do you believe it? Do you believe he's here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? If you don't, you need to get in the Bible and find out what he says. And fast in prayer of the Word of God till you get your own word. Why? I'm going to tell you right now, God's no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of his word. Amen. Why did he give me this word? To deliver me from the spirit of infirmity, to deliver me from strep and all sickness, so I could preach the gospel and turn people from deception to truth. That's why. Amen. And he's still here to do the same thing. Amen. For all. Jesus was on earth to provide for our every need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Everybody quotes that. Everybody believes that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. But they don't believe a single word of it. What does thou shalt not lack mean? You shall not lack anything. You need to live life and live godly. He's going to take care of you. Sure, you live in a demonized world. Sure, the devil's going to hit you upside the head with a 2x4 and a little bit of everything else. But at the same time, you can recover. Can you say amen? He's here to heal the brokenness. He's healed the hurts. He's healed to heal the curses the devil puts on us of sickness, disease, failure, and poverty, and inferiority. You live in a demonized world, and you need to understand that's what this message is about. Jesus Christ is here driving back the devil and his evil power. But you got to believe that the Son of God is here, and he's doing that. The Son of God is present in this world right now. He just needs a few people that will believe him and trust him and obey him. Amen. Jesus was on earth to provide for our every need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. You see, Jesus used Peter's fishing boat as a pulpit. When you give to God, he's going to take care of you. You can never hurt yourself by giving to God and obeying God. Amen. I said obeying God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. When Jesus rewarded Peter because he had used his boat as a pulpit. He was sitting on his boat preaching. Sound carries better over water. I mean, no, Jesus was God and he knew stuff. And so this time he's preaching from a boat. And Jesus rewarded him in Luke 5:5, chapter 5, verse 5. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. And so Jesus used his boat, and then he says, now take your boat, go right over there and drop your net. And Peter says, no offense, Lord. You're a carpenter. We're fishermen. And I'm telling you, there's no fish out here. Master, we worked all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the net. There is your faith. I don't say anything, but I'm going to do as you say. Amen. I'm going to believe your word and act on your word. I'm going to pray over your word till it becomes a revelation no so in my heart. That's why we're told to meditate in his word day and night. Not just to waste your time. You're to meditate in the word day and night until it becomes revelation faith no so inside of you. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners, that's James and John, in the other boat, for them to come and help them. And they came and filled up both of the boats so that they began to sink. How many want Jesus to be your partner? Amen. And to be in your boat? Amen. Jesus was helping them make a living. These fish were valuable. Well, he was just showing he was God. Do you think they just turned those fish loose? They sold them and put the money in their pocket. Jesus is still going about doing good. He's still on a mission to deliver people from bondage and to provide for them. He still knows where the fish are. Matthew 8:2, and a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I hear people say that all the time. Well, if it's the will of God, I know he can make me clean. Well, let's see what he said. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. You know what he was doing? He was touching a leper. You're not supposed to do that. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. There's your answer. Never one time in the ministry of Jesus Christ did he say, I'm not willing. Find it. If you're going to teach it and preach it, find it. It's got to be in the Bible. You don't get to make up scripture. Amen. I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy, he just did that one time. Well, then he's a respecter of persons. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So, yes, I'm willing. Jesus could have said no, but he didn't. He said, I am willing. He is still willing to heal us. Jesus was going everywhere, driving back darkness, driving back Satan's demonic deception and lies and stronghold and bondages in people's life. He was going everywhere, doing good and undoing the works of the devil, destroying works of evil and defeating the prince of the power of the air that's at work in disobedient people. Matthew 8:6, a Roman soldier, a centurion, you might say at one point he was a pagan, so he certainly was probably part of the kingdom of Satan. All of us were at one time. Can you say amen? So he's a Roman soldier, centurion, told Jesus about his paralyzed servant and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion this time said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. That's the kind of faith he had. Do you believe if you can get a word from God, you can be healed? Get you a word. As a matter of fact, I believe God is using some of these scriptures today to give you a word. Just recognize what it is and grab it and memorize it. Verse 10, now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. In other words, this pagan Roman has greater faith than the Jews. This man believed all he needed was for a miracle was a word from Jesus. He got the word, and his servant was healed. You see, Jesus called that great faith. Verse 13, and Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. Our work is to believe Jesus Christ in every word in the Bible and every word he gives us personally. And the servant was healed that very moment. This Roman soldier believed the word and acted on the word by going. He was not a Jew or a child of God. He was a pagan. Jesus was even helping Roman soldiers. He came to help everybody, bless everybody. He healed this Roman soldier's servant. You see, Jesus will help anyone who asks. That's awesome.